iServe teams. If you want to be a part of an iServe team here at church, we got a lot of different activities that you can be a part of, and you're going to be hearing more about them throughout the month, then go to the Connection Center and sign up for those things. A whole new level. Okay, going to a whole new level. How many of you have enough energy and excitement to say 2018 for me is an opportunity to go to a whole new level? Can you say amen? All right, that's pretty good. I got a good group this morning. Well, good, because that's what we're going to be talking about. That's what the Lord has placed on my heart. Now, I don't spend a lot of time, admittedly, I don't spend a lot of time speaking in church about living a healthy lifestyle. Okay, but I intend to this morning. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, but I'm not going to just talk about physical health. We're going to talk about your physicals, your emotional, and also your spiritual health this morning. But we're going to spend more than normal talking about a healthy lifestyle. In fact, you know, sometimes the church is not the best at promoting healthy lifestyles, right? Now, my scale tells me that I probably ought to avoid the church potluck buffet and, you know, choose some celery and carrots a little more frequently. All right, but I'm working on it. And, you know, it's part of that moving to a whole new level. So I wasn't really surprised this past October or November when the Lord really began to speak to me that said, I really want you as a pastor to encourage the church in 2018 to go to a new level, to be whole, okay, to be healthy in our service for Him. Can you say amen? Maybe you'd say yes, that's what God wants us to do. Right? That's pretty clear. So we're going to be talking about that. And I'll be honest, you know, I thought 7 years ago when I got out of the Army, when I retired from it, I thought my running days were over. I was like, okay, it's done. I hear Andy laughing back there. So I thought it was over with. And I thought, you know, okay, we'll just kind of try to, just generally stay in shape, live life, you know, like the rest of the community, and just kind of go off and do that. I thought that was going to be it. And then I got to the point where it's like, you know, I need to do something more than what I'm doing. It ain't working. All right, it ain't working. And so what I need to do is I need to get into it. So this past fall, my friend Matt Reaver said, hey, there's a triathlon coming up in May. Now, you know, give me the word triathlon and it's like disconnect right there. That's not happening. Okay, but he said there's a triathlon coming up, and it's called a rookie triathlon. Okay, he says we could get a bunch of us together and we could go run this, you know, rookie triathlon. Now it's I call it a triathlon on training wheels, right? So it's pretty simple. I have to run 2 miles, I have to be able to swim 300 meters, and I need to be able to ride a bike 11 miles. I'm thinking ride the bike, that's easy, right? That's gravy. I figure swimming, I'm a pretty good swimmer. Okay, so I can do that, I think. The running is honestly, you know, the most uncomfortable portion of it for me at this point. But I thought, you know what, I could do this. I could get ready for this triathlon. And I figured, what's the harm? I might as well just say I'm going to do it. I'm signing up. In fact, the other day I signed up. I've got my little registration all done. Did you know that you have to have a permit to run a triathlon? What is this country coming to? Anyway, I had to have a one-day permit to be able to run a triathlon. I don't think they had that in the days of the Greeks. But anyway, there I am. I've got this triathlon. I'm going to get prepared for it, work on getting prepared for it. But you know, it's just one aspect. Our physical health is one aspect of our well-being. We're also three parts, body, soul, and spirit. That's what the Bible teaches us. Can you say amen? And so the Bible encourages us to go to a whole new level. Okay, the Bible encourages us to go to a whole new level. Now, if you're saying this morning, okay, Pastor, this is a little too practical. You know, here you are. I mean, I could hear this in a motivational, you know, a speech from something, pull it up on the internet and all that kind of stuff. And where's the spiritual component? Well, I want to show you a little bit of the spiritual component. We could spend more time with it, but I'm going to take you to the third letter of John, verse 2. in verse 3. I think it's verse 2. It says, "Dear friend," John writes, okay, "Dear friend, I pray that you enjoy good health." I'll read it from the NIV up there. "Enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Well, let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. It says, "I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." I hope that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Now you may say, "Well, Pastor, that's just the formalities of, you know, this letter that John was writing." Well, let me read to you then a little bit of what Paul said. He says this, Paul writes to Corinthians, he says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God?" Now that's the verse y'all were expecting me to begin with, wasn't it? He says, "You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." You must honor God with your body. So we're seeing here, going to a whole new level, not just spiritually, not just emotionally, but also physically as well. 1 Thessalonians, again, Paul is our author. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 through 24 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful." Okay, he who calls you is faithful. Now, going back to the context of the letter from John, okay, I think that this morning you could probably classify this message coming from Pastor Mark as sort of a dear friend letter to the church. Okay, sort of a dear friend letter to the church. Right? I think that our bodies, I hope that you are not just spiritually whole or spiritually healthy, but you are also healthy in body as well. Now, we all know that Jesus was interested in healing people. Hey, Jesus was interested in healing people. He made it his business as he walked around. The scripture tells us in Matthew, it says that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Now, you know, we understand what Jesus was about, that he was about healing, and shouldn't churches also be about healing? Right? Churches ought to be about healing. We provide the opportunity for miraculous healings to take place. We believe in miraculous healings taking place. And at the same time, I think that there are realities that we ought to be understanding and implementing in our lives that probably driving through the Popeyes drive-through every day is probably not the best decision for us to be making. Although it is very delicious, right? But it's probably not the best decision for us to be making if we want to live healthy lives. Okay, so if we're going to follow the example of Jesus, we understand that healing is a part of our physical bodies, it's a part of our emotional bodies, and it's a part of our spiritual lives as well. So I want to challenge you to go to the next level in each of these areas. Let's first talk about the idea of physical fitness. Okay, physical fitness. Now, I mentioned to you that I'm getting ready for a triathlon. In fact, my wife has done a marathon before I have. Right, she did one this last December, the Rudolph run. And so she was a part of that, very, very proud of her. And many of you are well ahead of us on your fitness. I know some of you are out there running 5Ks already, running 10Ks already. Some of you are just going to the gym and you're getting those things. You know, you're staying in shape, you're losing weight, you're doing all those things that are great. Some of our people in the church are doing Tough Mudders, okay? Tough Mudders. I know Jason Laws enjoys doing that. It's one of those kind of you might call it a ropes course kind of thing where you go through it and you're going, you know, through the mud and doing all kinds of unique things and strength plus endurance to be able to do all those things. So I know that some of you are ahead of us in those things and that you're even eating healthy and you're using nutrients smartly and all these different types of things. Okay, well, not every one of us is going to run a 10K. Okay, not every one of us is going to do an Ironman or is going to do that type of a race. But here are the things that we can be working on. Your race may not be physically going in that direction or going in a direction to cross a line and to break the tape, but you might be fighting diabetes. And your race can be, I don't want to be a diabetic. Right? Your race can be, I don't want to have dementia as I get older. So I'm going to exercise to prevent that dementia from coming into my life. I don't want to have high cholesterol and have to pay the prices, right, for that medication or to have to go through those struggles that come along with that high cholesterol in our lives. And so that might be your race. It might be that you're trying to defeat insomnia in your life. You're up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you can't figure out why I can't sleep, and who knows? You know, it may be something in your life that can be remedied through exercise or nutrition or something like that. So that may be your race. There is a Assembly of God doctor who wrote this. She wrote this. She said that Jesus explained to the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, there is an intentionality in God's mind that says the man, the person, needs a time of rest. Okay? Needs a time of rest. There is a physical need that's there and that we need to recognize and we need to allow it to take place in our lives. Now, there are studies. There's one study that focuses on older men. This is a study that was published to the American Medical Association in 2004. It says that older men ranging from 71 to 93 who walked less than a quarter of a mile a day were 2 times more likely to develop dementia than men who walked more than 2 miles a day. Okay, so there's correlation of people that are walking. Okay, people that are walking, what you're doing is you are enabling your body, okay, to be healthy so that you're less likely, significantly less likely, to be struggling with dementia as you get older. Now, in another study, it takes a look at women. This is from Harvard. Women aged 70 to 81 who walked at least 1.5 or 1.5 hours per week had less cognitive decline than those who walked less than 40 minutes per week. Now, early this morning, I saw Austin come into our office, and he stood in the middle of the office, and he goes, I came here for a reason. He said, I don't remember what it is. And then he goes, oh, my laptop, and there it is. He says, have you ever done that? And I said, frequently. Frequently. And it's scary at times. Right? We're talking about, are there things that I can do in my health regimen so that I can prevent, right, struggles like that later on in my life? Just practical advice this morning. I said, this is a friend speaking to you today, saying, what can we do physically to take ourselves to the next level? Challenge you, 2018, do something. I'm wondering if we as a church, and I'm open to ideas, hey, what could we do as a church? Could there be a challenge to lose X amount of pounds? Is there a set amount of miles that we could collectively travel in 2018? Could we do 2018 miles in this year collectively? Yeah. Right? Wouldn't that be fun to be able to go and, you know, come into the church and go, hey, I did 50 miles this week. And then we subtract that. And as a team working together that we're doing that, what we're doing is we are making our temples a better place for the Holy Spirit to be. Can you say amen? Okay, well, enough on the physical component. Let's begin to talk about going to the next level in our emotional wellness. Okay, our emotional wellness. I wonder, and if you will, just imagine with me for just a moment how much better you and I would feel if we were to manage our stress, to manage our depression, to manage our fears, and to manage our compulsions better than we are doing right now. Okay, stress, depression, fears, compulsions that we have in our lives. If we were to manage those better than we are doing right now, imagine what that would be like. Now, this is sort of a silent majority of us. Okay, there's sort of a silent majority of us that this is sort of the unseen thing. You can see my body shape physicality, okay, but emotionally, what I do is I hide generally. Okay, we hide our emotions from other people. And so the wellness of our emotions really don't speak until something significant happens in your life, and then suddenly there's a crash and burn, and we've got to pick up the pieces. And the reality is, to be able to make you whole again, okay, there's a lot of peeling back and getting things out of the way. So we need to go to the next level emotionally. In the Bible, it talks about being heart sick. Has anybody ever been heart sick before? Just, man, aching. You're just, you know, you try to push it off. I'm going to be okay. But there's this heart sickness that you got going on. How many of you have had envy that just begins to gnaw at you? I'm just talking. We're being honest. Okay, envy just gnawing at you, eating away, sort of like a rat. You know, when we lived up in New York for a year, my kids were a little bitty, and we lived in this old farmhouse, and so we kept hearing this noise in the wall. And my son, I think it was my son Jesse, comes and gets me. He goes, "Dad, come here." He was a little bitty. I mean, he was two, 3 years old at that time. So I went down there, I looked at it, I could see the mouth of a rat in the wall, gnawing his way to get, you know, to get out of the wall and into that. I'm thinking, man, this is crazy living in this place. It's one of those homes. But that gnawing, envy will do that to you. How about a crushed spirit? Crushed spirit. You're just demoralized because of something that has taken place in your life. Well, Proverbs, I took those thoughts from the Old Testament. Proverbs says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Another proverb says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." "A cheerful heart is good medicine," he writes, "but a crushed spirit dries up the bones, and a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear?" And the reality is that there are too many of us that are in the church that are struggling with emotional issues that we're being beaten down and defeated with, but we need to get over, or we need to get to a whole new level emotionally. Can you say amen? Some of these, and I'm just going to kind of quickly go through them, but one of them is stress. Okay, stress. You're in a position where you're in a situation where you're under prolonged stress. And if you're in a situation of prolonged stress, then you end up having some problems. There are some chemicals. I don't want to go into it. Adrenaline is one of them. But if you're in a stressful situation, that adrenaline, which is great for you in a fight or flight situation, but now it gets elevated, and so for a long period of time, you're under the influence of adrenaline and cortisol, and then as a result of that, there are things that begin to emerge in your body, like type 2 diabetes. Okay, so stress is going to destroy you. It's going to tear you up. Another is mental illness. Okay, mental illness. Now, don't think of the extreme mental illnesses that put us into, like, you know, into a care facility. I'm talking about mental illnesses that we live with, that we're kind of sort of grow accustomed to a little bit. One of them is the idea of, we talk about people that are sort of, they avoid crowds. Okay, they avoid crowds. Have you ever tried to get somebody to come to church and they're like, "I just don't like crowds. Can't do it." That position over there where I'm not saying that anybody in there, but that position in that corner right there is the ideal position right there if you're a veteran, right? Because they don't like people sitting behind them, right? So they want to have it in front. My wife, when we go into a restaurant, it's not that significant. I'm not as bad, okay? But a lot of times I like to know what's going on. I just want to see everything. And so when we go into a table, she'll say, "Where do you want to sit?" And I'll go, "I want to sit here because I can see the exit. I can see stuff that's going on." Well, not always, but sometimes it kicks in. And so I have that, and it kicks in for others of you as well. And I've known people, and it might have been people that were either veterans or prisoners, typically, who are tend to be, they're very, very highly sensitive to those things, and so they want to be in a place where they can see what's going on. It's compulsive disorder or PTSD, whatever label you want to put on it. Okay, but it's something that they're dealing with, and I think that it's something that we can be set free from through the power of Christ. Okay, but it's also something very real in our lives. But if we're struggling with that, what we need to do is say, you know what, Lord, I want you to take me to the next level. I want freedom from that. I remember going through, this is a side trail, I do have a little bit of time, but this is, I remember going through the war, and so as I was there, I was listening to some people talking to me, and they're going like, they're saying to me, I feel like I got PTSD. I just am struggling with this. And I'm not diminishing anything. But I thought to myself, why? What are they going with? I mean, I'm here too. I'm out of the wire too. And so, in fact, I'm out of the wire more than they are. And so what's going on? Well, why are they struggling with that? And I began to understand, I think, that because of the fact that I was in the Word of God every day. Right? I was in the Word of God every day. I was like, every day that I woke, you talk about stress, every day I woke up and I'm like, man, I just got to make it through today. I just got to make it through today. I'm sitting in there, you know, this is really, I guess, a bunny trail, but I'm going into meetings where I've got people from West Point, I've got people from the CIA, I've got people from all these different places that are, they're sitting in there and I'm supposed to be equal with them in there. And I'm going, man, I got some serious stress going on. I had to get into the Word of God. I had to pray. Lord, help me make it another day with it. And I'm thinking, everybody's talking about the stress that they're under, and I'm going, yeah, I get it, but I'm going to the Lord with it. I'm going, Lord, here it is. Help me in this situation. See, that's the thing that can help us out. And so that's where we end up being helped. So we have these mental illnesses like that that a veteran experiences. We have obsessive compulsive disorders that people have. Hey, they struggle with whatever it is. Their life has to be in order. Whatever that thing, specific thing, you know, typically is or can be, and so they're trying to put it together. My wife struggles with this thing called misophonia. Hey, misophonia. Which is a real struggle that she has, and it's there are certain sounds that will make her angry. Okay, they make her angry. The definition of misophonia, it says that it's a condition in which negative emotions, thoughts, and physical reactions are triggered by specific sounds. And so there are sounds that she has or that she hears that begin to trigger in her, and it's like I look at her and I'm like, I'm crunching, you know, something. It's typically like a food sound. And so if I'm making a noise, I get this eye from her, and I'm like, okay, turn up the TV. Move out. Do something. Sit on the other side. Whatever. I've got to do this to make it change. Now, can the Lord set us free from it? Absolutely. Okay, absolutely. But it's also something that we need to be saying, Lord, here, I want to give it to you. And then also as a husband that I need to understand and be understanding. I don't take a veteran and say, dude, you got to sit right here. I don't care about your feelings. Right? That would be fool. I mean, that would be cruel to do that. I don't go to somebody with OCD who has to have their desk set up just right and just proper all the time and move everything on their desk just because I want to mess with them. Right? I don't do that to them. And so what we have to do is we have to be loving. How can we love one another in these things, and then at the same time, how can we as an individual struggling with these illnesses say, you know what, 2018 for me is going to the new level. I see a lot of conversations going out there, so we've hit some good spaces right there. Another thing is depression. People struggle with depression. I could give you a definition of depression. I don't want to do that right now or talk about it specifically, but here's the thing I want you to realize is what is the effect of depression on relationships? All right, let's just look specifically at marriages. A person struggles with depression consecutively. What does that mean? Is that they don't have the same outlook, the optimistic outlook that you have on life. And so there's a constant tension that takes place in your marriage relationship because of this depression that they're constantly dealing with. And then because of the fact that maybe, you know, this person who wakes up, they're struggling with depression. They wake up on Sunday morning and they go, you know what? It's a gloomy day for me. I can't make it to church. And you're that husband or that wife of that person. You're going, you know what? It's kind of rainy outside. I think I'd rather stay in bed too. So neither of you make it to church. Hey, and I'm not saying that church is everything that's there. I've got inside of me, there's a platform that's building that's about to bust about church and how I think it's so important. Okay, but what I'm saying is that yeah, you know, when we begin to decline, it's a gradual decline. And so we make a decision, I'm not going to, and then the next time it's an easier decision, I'm not going to, and then pretty soon it's months that you've gone to. And then after that, it's years that you haven't gone. And you begin to ask yourself the question, why am I struggling? Well, maybe it's because of the fact that this depression was in your life and you never dealt with it. And figure out how are we going to work that out in our lives so that we can be free for that depression. Now, the reality is that we see it over and over again in the Bible. We see people like Esau who come back, or Jacob, and he gets ready to come back, and he's going to confront his brother. And he is seriously upset. I mean, he's afraid of what's going to happen. He's going through this struggle that's going to take place. We see David in the Old Testament who goes through depression, who goes through this struggle. We see Elijah who gets to the point where he wants to kill himself, even after a huge spiritual victory. And so we see these people struggling with depression, and the fight is very, very real, but also the answer is very, very real in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? But we as a church need to have the heart of Jesus. It says that he went through healing. He went through healing, and not only should we be anointing with oil, but we ought to be providing words of life to people that are saying, you know what? I'm going to walk with you through it. I'm going to encourage you through it. The third thing that we need to do is be challenged to go to the next level in spiritual maturity. Okay, we need to be challenged to go to the next level in spiritual maturity. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Can you say amen? How many of you have found that serving Christ is easy when you allow Christ to serve, or to you allow Christ to direct your life? Hey, it's hard to do in your flesh, but it's easy to do in the Spirit. Hey, Lord, you direct me. You show me what I need to do. And when we do that, he comes in a greater way, and he takes us to a new level. He's all about redeeming us. In Psalm 103, it says this, verses 2 through 5, it says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord." All that I am, everything, the entirety of me. "But all that I am, praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives my sins." This is the spiritual level. "He heals all my diseases." It's a physical and emotional level. "He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things." Physical, emotional, all these things. "He fills my life with those good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles." Can you say amen? That's what happens when we allow the Lord to speak to us spiritually and we're willing to go to the next level. Jesus came not only so that our sins can be forgiven, but that we can be whole again. The apostle wrote to Timothy, he said, "Physical training is of some value." Now, I'm used to reading it in the King James Version. The King James Version says physical training is of little value. And I always read that wrong. Okay? I always read that wrong. I'll explain it in just a second. Okay, he continues, "Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both this present life and the life to come." So the way I used to read it was, physical training has little value, so there's no sense doing it. Right? Spiritual spiritual, right, training is of great value, and so get involved in that. I don't know where I got that from, just my stinking thinking, I guess. Right? But what it says is, what it's literally saying is that physical training is of some value. Okay, it is valuable. It has significance, but we are in fact finite. Okay, we are mortal. The physical will go away at some point, so it's not as significant as spiritual fitness. And we're going to see, again, why spiritual is so much more important than physical in just a moment, but physical is important as well. So there is this recognition that we need to have spiritual wellness in our lives. We need to be exercising things like prayer, worship, Bible reading, and fellowship, impacting the entire person. Okay, we need to be, again, involved in prayer, worship, Bible reading, and fellowship, impact with the whole person. How many of you would be willing to come to church and worship the Lord with us? You're here. Say yes. That's 100% of you. How many of you would be willing to pray with Grace Chapel? Amen. How many of you would be willing to fast with Grace Chapel? Amen. Amen. Why? Because these are disciplines that when we put them into our lives, they cause growth in our lives. They begin to strengthen us spiritually. Spiritually, it begins to bless all of us. Now, here's what we need to understand. Okay, what we need to understand. I've got 3 minutes to close, and I'm probably going to come pretty close to that. Okay, so here's what we need to understand. Now, here's what the world says. Okay, the world says that we need to operate first in the physical, get the physical squared away, takes care of the emotional, and then spiritual. Okay, in fact, I was trained as an educator. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs says that I need to provide food, clothing, and shelter for somebody before they can get better in all the other areas. I bought into that. And I said, okay, I get it. That makes sense. And in an education setting, it makes sense. The kingdom of God says it's completely different. The kingdom of God says it's completely different. In the kingdom of God, it begins with the spirit. Okay, it begins with the spirit. It translates into our emotions, and it translates into our physical as well. It's a different, it flows differently. Now, it's important for us to understand that because it begins to, it makes sense on how we approach this. If we are doing, I've been putting together in my shop, I've been putting together an air compression system, okay, and I bought some valves for it. And on the valves, it shows the direction of the airflow. Okay, that the airflow needs to go from this side to that side. And so when I install it, then I need to install it in the correct manner so that the air is flowing in the right direction. The same thing for any other fluid or gas or anything like that, that needs to make sense. And in the kingdom of God, we need to understand how things flow as well. You see, getting ourselves strong like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'm sure there's a lot of better, 2018 suggestions and Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay, but just getting ourselves strong physically doesn't do anything for us spiritually. But doing something spiritually and becoming strong spiritually bleeds down into our physical, or it should bleed down into our physical as well, and it should also touch our emotional at the same time. Proverbs 3, verses 7 through 8, written by the smartest man that ever lived. He said this. He says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Right? He says, fear God first. In other words, pay attention to your spiritual life. Because if you build your spiritual life, it bleeds down into your physical and your emotional. Can you say amen? We have to understand how it flows. You see, God communicates to our spirit. He communicates to our spirit. And so as he speaks to our spirit, then we begin to understand how we are to act and react to what God has for us. So our physical bodies, our emotions, and our spiritual well-being begins at the spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 say, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus comes again. For God will make this happen. For he who calls you is faithful. Now there's an amazing thing that happened for us at salvation. Okay, and at salvation there was a total transformation. The Spirit of Christ is imparted to us. Okay, we become alive in the Spirit at salvation, and we rejoice in that. Okay, and so we have this Spirit man, the Spirit of Christ that resides inside of us. And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. He said, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And so that transformative thing that takes place in our lives begins at the Spirit, and as we pursue God in the Spirit, then we begin to say, you know what? I've learned through the Word of God. I've learned through the confirmation of the Spirit of Christ that's inside of me. Okay? I've learned from those things that I can be free from this depression. I can be free from my compulsions. I can be free from these other things that are in my life, and I begin to say, Lord, help me to be free from that so that I can have that healing. Can you say amen? And we begin to take and put things that come from the Bible, we begin to apply those things into our lives, and as we apply those things into our lives, we begin to see the work that God wants to do in us as he takes us to a whole new level. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We need to begin by seeking God in a fresh way in 2018. The place to begin is by seeking the Lord. Yes, we need to avoid the Popeyes drive-thru. Yes, we need to avoid the chocolate cake. Yes, we need to begin to exercise. Yes, we need to be concerned with those types of things. Yes, we need to do those things. But the place to begin is by rebuilding the old walls of faith in our lives. The place to begin is in prayer. The place to begin is by reading the Word of God. The place to begin is by saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do a fast unto you, not because I need to lose 5 pounds, although that may be true, okay, but because I want to honor you first in my life and then see what God is going to do in you in 2018. And I conclude again with John, who said, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. And that is my hope for you, is that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to conclude our service this morning with prayer. So Lord, we come to you right now, and I thank you for the word that you have placed on my heart. Lord, I pray that as a congregation this year, that your Spirit would challenge us, that we would be well, that we would be whole. Lord, that we would go to a whole new level in you this year, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to help one another. I pray that together as a corporate church, as a corporate body, that, Lord, we would be healthy, not only in spirit, but also in body this year, Lord. And we just rejoice in you. We ask that you would bless us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. If you'd like prayer, come on up to the front. Austin and I would love to pray with you.